Hi, I'm Benita Croyle, and welcome back to another episode of Holding It Together. The views expressed on this podcast are my own and are not necessarily indicative of the views of Mennonite Church USA. For those of you who are new to listening to Holding It Together, our theme for this season is Bodies Holding It Together. And over the course of the last few episodes, we explored what it is to journey with our bodies and what it can mean to hold, care for, and know our bodies in all the ways that our bodies show up. In this season of pandemic, many of us may know what it is like to carry deep pain, grief, sadness, and exhaustion in our bodies. Some of us may know trauma in our bodies and what it is like to bear witness to death. And some of us may know what it is like to experience deep joy and pleasure in our bodies. We are people that hold and experience so much. And this season, we will hold these stories, hold these bodies, and celebrate the movement of the Spirit through us in the world. Today we are exploring bodies and anger, and I want to give a quick content warning. The themes of today's episode include some adult content, so if you generally listen to this podcast with kids, I invite you to consider listening to this episode first with headphones. And as always, if these topics are activating to you, please do what you need in order to honor your body. Bodies and anger. As I prepared for this episode, I found myself wanting to invite a guest to discuss this topic, mostly because I could feel the Spirit nudging me to do this episode solo. And to be honest, y'all, I didn't like that nudge. Perhaps because, as I shared in the last episode during the intro, grief was one of the first languages I have learned. And because anger often masks grief, anger was and is another language that I have learned to know and hide. For me as a Black woman in America, I am learning and have learned the way Black anger is demonized. As a Black transracial adoptee, I am learning and have learned the way society expects adoptees to be grateful for family separation. And as a Black cisgender straight transracial adoptee that has grown up in the Mennonite Church, I have come to know intimately the way Mennonite respectability politics and my Black female adoptee body are at odds. I wonder how you have learned to understand anger, how you define it, what messages you have received about how to show it, and what ways you've learned to talk about it. I want to be clear, I'm not talking about violent or abusive anger. Instead, I'm talking about the way in which we experience strong, upsetting emotions. How do you show that? As I thought about this episode and what I wanted to share, I found myself really being challenged and stretched to think about my anger in new ways. Over the years, I've had a really dope therapist who has encouraged me to think about emotions with different qualities. So sometimes she would say, "Benita, what does your anger smell like? Or what does it sound like? Or what color is your anger? Or what does your anger feel like?" And y'all, I started thinking about all of that again today. And I'm going to invite you to also wonder with me about anger, because I don't have all the answers. In fact, I am sure that so many of you in this wise and wonderfully wild group know so much more than I do about anger. So let's wonder together. And at the end of the episode, I'll share some contact info in case there were things that came up for you that you have felt inclined to share. So what have I learned about anger? Perhaps the best way to share some of the things that I know, and I'm laughing because there are only things that I know today, and tomorrow I might know better. So what do I know today? I want to share through a story. So here's a story of sorts about what I've learned about anger. And to tell this story, the very best way I know how is to start at the beginning. Because y'all, this music theater lover knows the beginning is a very good place to start. I'm born on a Sunday, on the 299th day of the year, 1992. It's October, and I'm born 2 months premature, very underweight and addicted to substances. I'm placed in the care of the hospital for 1 month. I have no memory of this time, but I'm told that after my hospital stay, I am placed in the care of 3 different foster homes. I'm only 2 months old by my third placement, and by this time my body has known grief and anger intimately, as my small body has been shuffled through new homes, new hands, new smells, and new spaces. I am small and frightened, and learning to believe that there is no space for me in this new world. I'm in foster care for 4 years until I'm adopted. I'm talkative, precocious, curious about the world, and wildly confused and grieving. I'm learning to feel my anger in my small, active body. I'm learning to cry and scream and to run as a way of activating my grief. I'm learning to know my anger as a wild thing that surprises me in the middle of the night with night terrors, that catches me off guard during the day when I throw a chair against the wall. I am learning to see that sometimes the world sees my anger and calls it by my name. Benita, stop that. Benita, don't do that. I am learning that my anger is bad, and so am I for expressing it. I am 5 years old. My small, active body is changing. I am growing and climbing on everything, up everything, touching everything. I am learning that clothes are for wearing all the time, and this angers me. I used to be able to run around in loose shirts all morning, and now I am restricted by shirt and pants because I am told clothes can keep me safe. I will learn at 8 that this is not the case. I will learn at 8 that my anger at sexual violence will be ignored. I will learn to tell my anger to become silence. I will learn to tell my anger that it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. I will learn that my anger is bad, and so am I for expressing it. I am 10, and I'm learning to know the word cliques and mean girls. Much to the horror of my family, I am popular and headstrong. I am curious and precocious, and my small, active body has been making plans about who I want to sit with at lunch and who I will play with at recess. I am actively angering many as I determine the fates and social lives of classmates around me, until the fate and social life of my own is quickly determined by intervening teachers. I am learning to listen to the anger of those that I hurt, and I'm learning to start to listen to my own. I am 14 and awkward, bumbling through ninth grade as one of the lone black girls in a predominantly white Mennonite high school. I am hyper aware of my awkwardness, my acne, and my ever-changing body. I am still curious and outgoing, but I'm learning to reserve myself. I'm learning to identify that the anger I felt as a child was also bone and whale deep grief. And when a classmate pulls a knife to my throat at the end of my freshman year and threatens to kill me, I find anger again, but I silence it quickly. I wait until I am home before I tell anyone, because at 14 I have learned to keep my anger silent. I have learned that my anger is bad, and so am I by extension for expressing it. I am 19 and wildly in love with a boy who would steal my heart. I am love you to the moon and back, cute made-up handshakes, smiles so hard that crinkles appear in the corners of my eye and every dimple shows in my cheeks. I no longer am small, and my body has for the most part stopped changing. I am 14 years into therapy and I feel so good. I am still curious and precocious, and I'm learning to know what activates me and what activates my partner, but learning to know one's anger and one another's anger can be a tricky, complex thing, and unlearning that anger is bad can be the journey of a lifetime. Some of us learn to silence our anger from what we've been taught at home, at school, at church, at work, or in a myriad of other places. Some of us know intimately that expressing our anger can result in our death because we live in a world that breeds and perpetuates systemic racism, settler colonialism, white supremacy, homophobia, transphobia, Islamophobia, ableism, fatophobia, sexism, and xenophobia. And some of us learn to silence our anger over and over and over as a way to survive, and that is 1,000% valid. I am learning to express my anger, and I wonder how you are learning. I'm 29, and the last few years have been hell as I find my way in new life journeys that have been largely out of my control. I am still curious about the world, about the way of things and why things work. And I've been learning that anger has been a constant throughout my life, and that hasn't been a bad thing. Anger has been the boundary that has shown up for me long before I knew how to speak. Anger has been the constant that has said, "Hey, Benita, can we please pause and take a look at this pain point? Please!" Anger has called me in and in and in, and I am learning to love her fiercely for that. Because I think anger, like joy, has remembered and remembered me. And I wonder, friend, if anger has done that for you too. If anger is doing that for you too. For me, my anger, like my joy, has been a form of my resistance, and that has felt countercultural. My anger dreams of freedom, and it helps to remind me who I am and what I believe in. The practice of anger that remembers and remembers my body invites me to also reclaim my voice and helps me to ground myself in the truths that I know about who I am and who I have experienced God to be. Anger, like joy, has given me new language to set boundaries and to honor my pain. And today that has looked like telling my 29-year-old self, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Your anger is teaching you. Don't be afraid. Pay attention. Don't be afraid. Look and listen to it. Tend it in the ways you know how. Invite your circle to tend it with you. Look, you are a beautiful, wild thing. You are not bad for knowing your anger. Look how it speaks your name. Beloved. Beloved. Beloved." Friend, thank you for joining me today. I wonder what takeaways you have from this episode. How have you learned to listen to and know your anger? What does your anger speak? How does it say your name? Does it call you in, beloved, beloved, beloved? I'd love to hear your thoughts about today's episode. Or if it's more comfortable, I invite you to write your thoughts down or share them with a friend. If you want to share with me, feel free to send your thoughts to the email listed in today's show notes. And as always, thank you for holding it together with me. I look forward to catching you next time on the flip side. This episode was produced by me, Benita Croyle, with editing help from Alex Woodring and music by my dear friend Redfa Jan Titialowa. Holding It Together is a joint production of Women in Leadership and MCUSA. Look for us on our page on the MCUSA website, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast streaming site. I'm your host, Benita Croyle. Thanks for listening, y'all, and catch you next month on the flip side.